We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Sports Radio 810 WHB, the Interurban Lofts proudly present The Border Patrol with Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan.
Good morning, my neighbors!
It's showtime!
I think Bucky, you, myself, we all know what was going on in Kansas City during the bye week. More wrinkles are being added to this offense. That stack of index cards that's on Andy Reid's desk that he's looking at new plays to put in, and Doug Peterson knows this. He said it this week that, you know, since 1995 when he became a player in Green Bay with Andy Reid, he knows what type of mind Andy Reid has, and he's preparing his team for a variety of wrinkles within this offense. And he also said he knows from being a former player how engaging it is for the players on this Chiefs team, how much fun it is in practice to put these things in. Because if you know anything about how the Chiefs operate, when there's a special teams period going on, it's Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce and company over on another field working on plays, Bucky, that they want to sell back to this coaching staff to find different ways to get guys open. Now, the major difference into this postseason as opposed to the ones in the past, it was finding new ways to get Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill the football, finding variety of ways to find them space. Now, it's mixing things up to find so many different weapons that are around Patrick Mahomes. That's the biggest difference, and with all these wrinkles, Andrew, is that it's not just specifically for two players. It's for all of these weapons that Patrick Mahomes has been using, specifically, though, the tight ends and the running backs out in space.
Where's my Missouri highlights? Marco. Marco, why? What happened? You're in there laughing. No? No?
You want some? I'll get some ready for
well,
you.
Well, yeah. You didn't, did you, do you know they won? Did you go to sleep?
No, I stayed up for the whole thing. Oh, yeah, I knew they won.
So that was not worthy for you? On a Thursday morning? I want to know, like, seriously, what's your thought process here, no?
I guess I didn't have a thought process. I got every damn near piece of sound except for no Missouri highlights. I'm sorry.
I'll wait. Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John, Nate Buchanan, Marco Marquez. It is Thursday, January 19th, 2024. I don't know what it is. 2023. Yes, Missouri won last night in a very, that was a huge win, a very important win, despite what Marco thinks. A very, very important victory for Missouri, considering where they are at right now in their schedule, what's coming up, what's happened the past week or so. That was a gigantic win against number 25 Arkansas last night to split the regular season series between Mizzou and Arkansas. So they get the split. They end their two-game losing streak. And we talked about this a little bit with Mike DeCourcy, how important it was for them to be able to get this win at home against Arkansas, considering what's coming up for them on the schedule, because on Saturday they'll be hosting Alabama, who is the number four team in the nation. Some people think they're the best team in the nation. I don't know about that. They're certainly a top five team. They are wildly talented, and that's going to be a very difficult game for Mizzou, but they don't have to worry now about entering that game with a three-game losing streak. Mizzou had lost three of their last four. Then after Alabama, they play at Ole Miss, and then they host Iowa State. And so they have the number four team and the number 12 team coming to town between now and January 28th. The schedule, it lights up a little bit. Then they get LSU, Mississippi State, and South Carolina before back-to-back against Tennessee and Auburn. But considering they have Alabama, a road game, and then Iowa State coming up, you did not want to enter that stretch on a three-game losing streak. So they were able to knock off Arkansas 79-76 last night. There were about 150 fouls called, but it was still a very exciting finish last night because Mizzou was down 10 points with about 5 minutes left. I don't believe that you watched that game. I don't believe you.
What do I need to do to prove myself to you?
Play the highlights.
Okay.
Because, like, that was such – you don't think that was, like, a huge win? That where
no,
they
it definitely
were
was
down
a huge
10
win
with 4.5 minutes left? Like, oh, boy.
No, it was a big win. And, of course, he talked about the schedule ahead for Missouri. And what was it that he said? You could either – you don't want one to turn into a two-game losing streak right now because of the what's next for Missouri.
Right. It was already two. It would have been three if they'd have lost last night.
There we go. So, no, it was an important win. It was a big win for Missouri because – you got to see two players that haven't been a part of the lineup so far this season. It added something to it. You got to see the Missouri team, like you said, down 10, be able to come back, show some fight. And that, I don't know, I think last night's win kind of, it put more confidence and solidified me that Dennis Gates is the most legit head coach they've had in there since Frank Haith, maybe?
Well. Yeah, well, Mike Anderson.
Mike Anderson was before Haith, right. though. But, yeah,
right.
Anderson. If not Haith, Anderson.
Yeah, and so they didn't score for the first 5 minutes of the game. They found themselves down 7-0. But down the stretch, it was they jumped out to about a six-point lead in the second half. You're thinking, okay, this is they're gonna win this game. I felt pretty good about it, but then Arkansas went on a huge run and it did not look good. It was a 10-point, it was 67-57 Arkansas until Golston made a couple of free throws with 4:51 left. So with 4:51 left, it was a 10-point lead for Arkansas. And then Mizzou went on a 10-0 run and down the stretch made the plays they needed to make. They also were terrific from the free throw line down the stretch, and so that's very good to see. Sean East had a stretch where he made a couple of baskets were very important. He made his free throws. In that final 30 seconds, Mizzou was 8 of 8, and they needed all of them. Yeah, because Arkansas would not go away. And, for a while. I mean, look, Anthony Black made a nice running jumper with about 8 seconds left, and then he hit a three-pointer with 5 seconds left. And so Mizzou kept having to make their free throws. And you're referencing, we've talked about this a lot with Gabe DeArmond and had some fun with it. Isaiah Mosley played. So the unpredictable situation with Isaiah Mosley took a different turn last night as he actually played 19 minutes and scored 8 points and was 4-for-4 from the free throw line. So that was nice to see him, on the floor. Jara got some action. The big man, the JUCO transfer who hasn't played a whole lot, he scored 5 points. Also, Dennis Gates, he had an on-the-court interview after the game on SEC Network, and they asked him about the win, and he said one of the biggest reasons why they won was the performance from Aiden Shaw off the bench, the Kansas City kid, the Dorena Award winner. He only played 11 minutes, but he hit 2 3-pointers in the second half, or in the first half when Mizzou needed him, and scored 7 points in his 11 minutes. So Dennis Gates went out of his way to mention Aiden Shaw. So good stuff, man. That was very fun. We watched. I watched that with my daughter and my wife. And with about 10 minutes left, I'm thinking, if this thing starts to get worse than this, we're shutting this off. I don't need the aggravation on a Wednesday night. But down 10 at home to a ranked team where you needed a win, they pulled it out. They hit the free throws. They made a couple of defensive stops. And they fouled. Well, how many guys from Arkansas fouled out down the stretch? 4? And that was another good thing to see Mizzou drawing fouls, not shying away from contact, being aggressive, being physical. Let me see here. How many players? 1, 2, 3. Yeah. 4 guys fouled out for Arkansas by the end of the game. So that was good stuff. Nate Bucati, good morning.
Good morning, Stephen. How are you?
I know you didn't watch it, but can I convince you that this was a good win for Mizzou?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I disagree with Marco. I think it was a big win for Missouri. Very big. You know, especially what's coming up on the schedule.
Right. And to split against Arkansas, you know?
I mean, that's the big rivalry game right now, right?
Well, look, one of the worst things about Conzo Martin's last year was against any game you could call a big game or any game you could call a rivalry game, Mizzou got run off the floor, got embarrassed, got blown out, right? It happened again against Kansas this year, right? But last year they got humiliated by Illinois. This year they humiliated Illinois. Same thing with Kentucky. This year they beat Kentucky. Same thing with Arkansas. This year they got a win against Arkansas and they were competitive at Arkansas. And so that's in your first year to go out and to beat Illinois and to beat Kentucky and to get a win over Arkansas, a team that's gone to back-to-back Elite Eights. And, you know, despite who they're missing, it's got a world of talent. I mean, that's how you engage your fan base.
Right.
That's how you get fans feeling good about your basketball program. That's a big deal. And so that was And when you're down 10, and that's the second time they've been down 10 in a situation like that in a game where they've been able to come back and win, that you're once again, you're establishing home court advantage. You're establishing, the fact that you can come back down double digits under 5 minutes in a game. That was for many, many reasons, that was a big win last night. So
it's a big resume builder for the tournament, too. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, that's...
No, that could be a difference maker, you know?
Huge.
Because it ain't going to be easy for them to win road games in the SEC. And what have we talked about? One thing that they are never going to win is the rebounding battle. You want to know what the rebounding edge was for Arkansas last night?
Hit me with it.
42-23.
Ooh, ouch.
Yeah? But they won. But they won.
Yeah.
You know how many free throws were taken combined by the two teams combined? Take a.
Was it a lot?
Well, I just guess. Yeah.
45
combined. How about? Yeah. How do you? What do you think of? What do you think of 66?
Oh my stars!
That's a lot of free throws.
And a lot of fouls. I told you Arkansas had 4 guys to foul out.
I think the refs have been told to call these games a little tighter.
Oh, they were calling. Arkansas was 23-26 on the line, and Missouri was 30-40. It was certainly a free throw fest. So I saw some people arguing on Twitter. Let me ask you this: would you like to see, if they're going to call games this way, would you like to see college go to 6 fouls, and then you're out, or keep it at 5? Arkansas would vote for 6 fouls today, I'm going to guess, after they had 4 guys fouled.
Yeah,
fouled.
I mean, the game's only 40 minutes in college, you know. I don't know. Stop fouling.
Well, some would say that the officials kind of took the game over last night. And if they're going to call games like that, it's hard not to foul. Because you can call whatever you want. There were some calls last night where, like, Where was the foul at? Where was that contact? And there were gripes on both sides of the floor last night.
You're talking to a guy whose team had three of its best players foul out just, you know, Tuesday night. So I get it.
Yeah. Well, that's all. That's all I wanted to say. I'm with you. Keep it at five fouls, but that was, hey, look, it benefited Mizzou last night. 40 trips to the free throw line, that'll get you a win. But that don't matter because they needed a win. Down 10 with under 5 minutes left. I'm thinking, I don't know what's going to happen here. But they hit big shots. Marco claims he watched this game. I say he had no knowledge that Mizzou won when this show started. He turned it off and thought they lost.
He's a Missouri fan.
I don't think he knew that they won until I said something. Be honest.
I watched it. I watched the whole thing. In fact, Nate, you mentioned this being a good resume builder for the NCAA tournament. John Sunvolt yesterday said them Missouri making the tournament this year is what would make fans happy.
He just looked to see who called the game. See, now this is a charade. Now you're going too far out of the way to try to prove you watch this game. Because John Sunvolt called the game.
I know he called the game. I watched
it. You just looked right now. You just looked at the highlights. We got to get John Sunvolt on the show, by the way. Yeah, tweet that.
I'd like to text that out.
I'll call John Sunvolt later. Get him on the show.
Okay.
Text that out.
I like the signs, though. The creation of signs from the Missouri student section was
Did you
on
almost
point.
Say Miege?
Yeah, I almost said Miege. I don't know.
What sign did you like?
The Sean East one with the compass and had north, south, west, and then east.
I like the Dennis Gates sign that has lasers coming out of his eyes because I think that plays into my Gates of Hell theme, but that's fine. Boy, I tell you what, that Eric Musselman, when things don't go his way, he can...
Ah, I love seeing him angry.
Boy, he can complain with the best of them. You know, it's all blanks and giggles when they're winning and he's taking his shirt off and dancing around and everyone loves him. Boy, let me tell you, if he doesn't get his way, he is after those refs. He is very reminiscent of the Incredible Hulk. At some point, I feel like he's going to turn green, but I'm not sure.
Wasn't drinking as many Diet Cokes this time.
No.
Because he wasn't Fayetteville.
Well, he didn't like those calls. He didn't like a lot of them. And there were one thing that was irritating last night. There were quite a few reviews of fouls. Like, they reviewed that one charge, and they were trying to find out if who was it that took the charge from Mizzou was in
Mosley.
Was in the restricted area or not, and it's because his heel was kind of over, but it was up off and even Sunvold, and they were trying to figure it out. They kept looking at it, and you could just hear Musselman screaming in the background when they're trying to review it.
Well, I remember the Des Moines Hodge, and
it was down the stretch. Remember, he took the charge. When the kid was out of control, and he kind of pushed him down to the ground, but then they looked, and the Mizzou player's heel was just kind of over the line, but it was up. You know what I mean? It wasn't. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It was a bang bang play, and they called it a charge. But they went, and I'm like, dude, if they overturn this, this is gonna be crap because it was a huge point in the game, right? And then Musselman's just airing him out. He was pissed. But that's fine. Hey. He's one of those guys that you like when he gets mad because he's furious. He gets dad mad. So that's all. I don't mean to interrupt everything. I just wanted to talk about the win last night. I feel like I'm out of place now. I feel like I should go back home.
You can request an opening sound anytime, Nate. I thought. I checked too late.
What happened?
I checked too late. Oh. I checked 5 minutes before him.
That's all right. How about some post game? You get some post game? No? Marco.
I went to bed right after that game. The referees made that game go on longer than it needed to be.
2 hours and 45 minutes. Is that too long for a college basketball game, Nate?
Yes.
It's almost an NFL game.
Yes.
Almost an MLB game.
It was 10:45. I'm like, okay, come on, win this game, please. You know what I was sure was going to happen?
One of my favorite things about college basketball is that usually you go 2 hours.
No, not last night. I was sure that was going overtime. Like, we're hitting 3 hours. We're good. This is going to be – and even John Sobel at one point said, you know, they're calling it tight tonight. That's why it's midnight. It wasn't midnight, but it was still funny that John Sunvolt said that. Well, there you go. Marco didn't want you to know Kansas City, but I'll tell you, Mizzou with a great comeback – at home beats Arkansas 79-76. When we come back, we'll talk football, we'll talk NFL, we'll talk whatever Marco wants to talk about on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot.
Two and a half to play. Left wing Olsen, open. Golson's three. Ties it at 67. Black backing off of him. Left wing Golston, guarded by Mitchell. Rip through move, drives it to the left block. Fade away after a foul, and he made it. He got pushed by Mitchell. A fadeaway drops through. It's caught by Black. One bounce, head and shoulder fake. Throws it up. Air ball. And Missouri hands Arkansas its fourth consecutive loss. Black thought he drew a foul in front of Owen Short. Eric Musselman explodes off of his bench, says something to the officials, and now exchanges handshakes with the Missouri coaching staff as the Tigers win it 79-76, coming back from a 10-point deficit with less than 5 minutes to play.
Now we're talking, Marco. I know Nate was telling, don't play any highlights from Mizzou, Arkansas. Marco's blaming it on you now, Nate.
So were the Mizzou students doing the FKU chant last night too?
Yeah. How did you figure that out?
I saw it on Twitter.
They play Mr. Brightside. That's part of it, you know.
Oh, that part of the deal?
Yeah, it's part of Mr. Brightside. You can't. Okay. Who doesn't say that when they're listening to Mr. Brightside?
Yeah, I guess I missed that part of the song.
You know?
That's awesome.
Yeah. I don't think Jerome Tang would like it, but...
Well...
See, you love Missouri, too. Look at that.
How about that? This is kind of a... This is somewhat of an interesting tweet. I'm looking at the game with about 7 minutes left or so... In the game, like I said, it looked for a while there that Arkansas was going to win because Mizzou went cold and Arkansas built a double digit lead. Jordan Walsh hit a jumper with 7:04 left, and that gave Arkansas a 62-52 lead. And Dennis Gates tweeted out at about 2:30 this morning, which I kind of like. I don't know why. He tweeted, with 7:03 remaining, I was torn. Should I or should I not use our last timeout? I credit my staff, our players, who raised our level of communication and finished the game. Execution was seamless. Lastly, I want to credit our fans. Welcome back, students. Mizzou Arena's electric. So Dennis Gates, about 2:30 in the morning, think, you know what, let me tweet this out. And said he was trying to decide whether or not to take the last timeout. And credits his staff and the players who got through it. You like that?
Probably hard to fall asleep after a game like
that. Well, yeah. Especially he's thinking, I can't wait to listen to the Border Patrol tomorrow to see what kind of intro Marco puts together. He's right. Known for his intros. I got emails about how great your intros were. They love the use of the Titanic song on Monday. I did. I'll show you. I got people loved it, right? And now you've raised your level of expectation. So I'm sure like, oh, I can't wait to see what Marco puts together. Dennis Gates, you heard Dennis Gates.
Even my parents went to bed. My dad didn't even want to watch the game with me. He was so tired. I was tired after
the
game.
Did he see the comeback?
No, he was in bed. I was alone.
He gave up. When did he give up? Oh, he gave up. When did he give up?
In the middle of the first half.
Oh, in the first half. I'll be honest with you. Like, with 4 minutes, yeah. I'm like, they don't do something quick. I've had a long day. Now, thank you, by the way. Thank you to all the people that came out to High B and glad. So, man, did we have a good turnout for the Hy-Vee Supercart, and we registered people to win autographed footballs from Trent McDuffie and Juju Smith-Schuster. We had people scan the QR code in the Hy-Vee Supercart to get a chance to win tickets to the playoff game and parking pass and a Visa gift card. You know, guess who won one of the footballs, Nate?
Who?
Snowstorm Sandy won the Trent McDuffie football. And I see... That's good. Someone who loves the Chiefs won that football. Weird Wolf was out there howling. He was howling for you. My dad was out there.
We had a lot of super fans out there, huh?
My dad, for like 45 minutes into the remote. My dad showed up, sat at the remote table, and took over the remote. And then I was just like off to the side.
Yeah.
You know, talking to a couple of people. But he sat there and he took pictures with people. He told stories that were profanity laced. And a couple of, I said, Dad, stop. You got just a little bit, bring it, you know. Because there was an older guy that showed up there from Northeast that he didn't really know, but they knew a whole lot of people. Oh, you know him? Oh, yeah, I know her. And then and then some stories started coming up, and I knew where the stories were headed. And yeah. And my dad has this, you know, my dad wears a hearing aid. He doesn't like to, I'm sorry, Dad, you do. He doesn't like to talk about that. But my dad sometimes doesn't have the levels right, and he talks at a level where it's normal to him, but it's like, you know, he'll be sitting at the table and he'll think he'll just be talking to one person, and he'll be like, yeah, and then I hit him with a baseball bat. Like, Dad, it's not, shh. You know what I mean? Where yep. They're talking so loud that everyone can hear, but it's not meant for everyone to hear.
Right.
And so I had to curtail some of those stories at the Sports Radio 810 broadcast table at the Hy-Vee in Gladstone. So,
well, my guess is that the audience loves Mr. St. John's stories.
I think a good percentage of them do, and there's a few that don't. And I just want to make sure I protect those people because there were some words being thrown around Hy-Vee. But Hy-Vee's a wonderful place. That's my dad's yep. Hy-Vee. And so he went in there and he did a little shopping. And then Susan showed up. We had a great, my friend Todd was there. Remember old school Sports Radio 810 caller JP? He was there. My friend Bo, my friend Fred showed up. Man, it was great. It was awesome. I love doing remotes in the Northland, and I love getting a chance to catch up with some great listeners of the Border Patrol and Sports Radio 810 WHB. So if you came out there to see me, thank you. You made my day. That was very nice. And then from there,
I went to physical
therapy for my back, and Chris beat the hell out of me. Thank you, Chris. I'm feeling stronger now. And then we had a nice scrimmage last night for our basketball team. And then I went home and watched Mizzou come back down 10 with under 5 minutes left against Arkansas. And I watched Eric Musselman get as pissed off as my dad used to when I used to do things bad when I was a kid. So all in all, that was a great Wednesday. That's a pretty good one, right?
I mean, that's a full day right there.
What did you do last night?
Well, I did the match commentary, the fight commentary for Invicta FC 51 here in Denver, Colorado.
Match commentary? Who calls it? Is that like
I don't know where that came from.
That's a soccer deal, isn't it?
That's soccer.
Yeah, I got you. Yep. I caught you on that one. You watch your mouth, huh?
Caught me with the left hook right
there. Hey, you start talking soccer around the MMA community, they'll smack you right in the mouth. I can promise you that.
I know. You got to watch out.
Yeah, you better watch what you say.
There were some pretty good fights here yesterday, so that was a whole lot of fun. It was a great night of action.
You get any blood on you?
Too, though. One of the fighters.
Did you?
Christina Warhorse Williams. I didn't get any blood on me.
Whoa. Wait, stop. What did you just say?
Christina Warhorse Williams.
Okay, you got to slow it down when you're saying that. Now I'm going to ask you again. Did you get any blood on you?
No, I got some blood on my spotting boards.
Uh-huh. I don't think I got any on me.
I
bet you got some on you. You don't realize it.
It's possible.
Yeah. Is that thrilling to you?
Getting blood on me?
Yeah.
No, I mean, it might get my heart rate
come on,
raise it up a little
it
bit.
It does. That means it's thrilling. You lie, it's all right.
Yeah.
Nate, it's okay. It's all right. If you get a little thrill out of it.
When you talk about snowstorm, Sandy, we had a big snowstorm here yesterday. Man, it snowed all day. I guess some of that's coming your guys' way.
Tell people again where you are if they don't know.
Denver, Colorado.
Hey, are they getting ready for their big playoff game coming up this week? The Broncos don't have one. That's the joke. Kansas City,
the
they don't have one.
Now.
They're not getting ready for nothing. They're trying to hire a coach again.
They're just talking about the Nuggets around here. I don't even know about football here anymore.
God, you just made me hungry. I love to have some chicken nuggets right now.
Well,
in the air fryer. They're so
the
good. Let's take a break. Back after this on WHB.
You know, I tell you, we concentrated a little bit more on us, some things we thought we needed to work on, and then we looked at, you know, we perused, you know, those four teams and put a little bit more of a percentage into the teams we thought we were going to play, and then tried to pull things out that were common, and then worked on those last week. So that's kind of where we spent most of our time.
That was Chiefs defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo talking about how much time was spent on the Jags, and he tells us that there was time spent self-scouting and correcting some flaws within their own defense. But now they are getting ready for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Speaking of Jacksonville, they got this Waffle House-loving quarterback, Trevor Lawrence. These words could come back to haunt them. Boy, did Chiefs fans get irritated. And I think a good majority of Chiefs fans didn't even listen to the quote. They just saw it in print or saw a clip. So let's listen to the entire quote and see if Trevor Lawrence put his foot in his mouth. Here is Trevor Lawrence when he was asked about the environment at Arrowhead Stadium.
Obviously, the environment and the atmosphere we're going to play in is one of, if not the best in the NFL. I mean, I can't imagine it'll be much louder than our fans were here on Saturday, honestly. But that was when we were on defense, not offense. So we played there earlier in the year, but this is a little bit different. You know, it's a playoff game, divisional round. So the stakes are higher. So I expect them to be even crazier, more packed stadium. But I mean, at the end of the day, you got to go play and you got to make sure you communicate. That's the one thing. We got to get in and out of the huddle. We got to get to the line of scrimmage so we have time to communicate, because everything naturally takes a little longer when it's loud.
See, when I saw this tweet regurgitated on social media and it was making its rounds, it didn't have the part where he says it's one of, if not the loudest, stadiums? It only had the following comment about, you know, he can't imagine it being any louder than Jacksonville. And that's what... And that, number one, that's the danger of just looking at a quote that's isolated, that's not put in the proper context, and not listening to the entire comment. But is you think there anything that Chiefs fans should be irritated by with those comments, Nate Bucati?
No. But I retweeted it. I mean, you know.
Because you like to stir the pot. Did you retweet the full quote or just the little snippet?
Honestly, I don't remember which one I retweeted, because I retweeted it before I even listened to it.
Now, see, that's a no-no.
That's good journalism.
That's a no-no.
I know.
Like, even on Twitter now, that you, if you retweet something before you read it, don't you want to read this first, dummy, before you retweet it? I'm like, no, I don't.
Right.
Or maybe I do. So you admit, see, this is, you're the kind of guy, again, we clickbait Nate, that you just retweet it without even listening to it, because you know it's going to irritate the Chiefs fans and get their blood boiling, right?
Well, the tweet had direct quotes. So I read it. I read the tweet, and that's why I tweeted the monocle emoji, because I was looking at it. I didn't tweet an ear emoji, because it said, quote, "I can't imagine Arrowhead Stadium will be much louder than Jacksonville."
Right, and when you look at that quote Saturday. By itself, it seems like one thing, but then when you hear that, it seems like another, does it not?
Yeah, I don't think he's trying to be disrespectful at all to the Arrowhead Stadium. He's trying to give credit to the fans in Jacksonville. But by the way, it will be much louder.
Hold on, wait a minute. Now, if we're trying to stir the, no, Chiefs fans, he thinks you suck.
Yeah, that's
Trevor
right.
Lawrence thinks Jacksonville's way louder than Arrowhead. He doesn't think you're very loud at all. He thinks you're a bunch of simps. Is that better?
Mm-hmm. I'm still, my understanding of that term is still growing. I don't think I fully have my head around it.
What was I told last night?
You're a simp.
No.
Was this at practice?
No. So who? What did they say to me? I don't want. Yeah, somebody told me something mean at practice. I don't understand what the girls are talking about half the time.
They call you Boomer?
No Riz?
Oh, you ain't got no Riz.
Yeah,
okay.
They told me I got no Riz.
Oh, you got no Riz.
Yeah,
I got no Riz.
That's where you got to flash the chain at him.
How did I marry a fine thing like Susan if I don't have any Riz?
Well, yeah, someone told me I got no Riz. I got, I want Riz.
That's BS. You got all kinds of Riz.
Only Riz I think is Rizzo from Grease. Riz. You know, played by Stocker Channing, who was like 40. She was like 43 years old playing a high school student in Greece. Unbelievable. But she was great. Betty Rizzo. You ever seen Grease, Nate?
Yeah.
I don't think you have.
Honestly, don't know if I've ever watched the whole thing from start to finish at one time, but I've seen all. I've seen it, you know, like in different chunks at different times.
She was messing around with Crater Face, and they were both in their 40s, yet they were in high school. And I'd be like in Grease, I can't wait to go to high school and, you know, be around all these kids. And then I go, and like, nobody looks like they did in Grease. Because then I realized they were all in their 40s. And so. But
did that disappoint you?
A little bit. Because I kind of looked like I was, you know, in my in my early 30s when I was in high school. Like with a mustache. And so, yeah. All right, let's hear more from Trevor Lawrence to see if he says anything else that'll piss off Chiefs fans. Here, Trevor Lawrence says it could be a shootout against Kansas City.
Playing a team like them that has a great offense, a high-powered offense that can score a lot of points, and you know, even if your defense is playing well, you got to score to beat guys like this. Just when you got, especially a guy like Patrick over there. So you know, you're aware of that, and there's definitely some stuff we left out there, and excited to get another opportunity. It's going to be fun.
What I heard him say there is the Chiefs' defense is terrible.
Right.
That's what I heard from
let's
him.
Twist
I don't know
about his, you. Let's twist his words.
Chiefs got no defense.
Right.
Their pass rush sucks. That's what I heard him say.
All right, now let's hear Doug Peterson. The Jags head coach was asked how his team is preparing for Kansas City.
You know, listen, when you're playing, you got to play disciplined football, number one. You're playing a well-coached team. They're a disciplined football team. We have to be prepared for them, too, as they've had a couple of weeks now to really maybe come up with some wrinkles of their own, right? And that's Coach Reed. And he'll have some wrinkles up his sleeve, I know. But for us, it's just a matter of just staying disciplined and trusting what we're doing and just understand your role within your game plan, right? And just execute each play one at a time. You know, offensively, we just can't give it away like we've been doing in order to win these games, especially now where we're at.
Jags head coach Doug Peterson. George Peterson. What movie is that from?
Doug Peterson goes to Washington?
Man, you're hitting me.
George Peterson.
You hit me too early in the morning.
George Peterson calling to pick up his daughter Sloan from high school.
Oh. Ferris Bueller.
Ferris Bueller.
Now, Marco Marquez. Marco Marquez, even though that's the age range, Nate's age range should have that movie first, Marco steps up to the plate. Unbelievable.
Well, I think there's a delay on my
end. There's no. Yeah, you're in your brain.
Before Marco
there's
did.
A delay. Well, nothing. Anything about Doug Peterson piss you off there?
Well, I thought he was incredibly disrespectful.
By the way, I don't know why, but I woke up in the middle of the night thinking about our head coaching rankings of coaches left in the playoffs, and I re-ranked them, and now I have Doug Peterson number two. I think we undervalue the fact that he won a Super Bowl with Nick Foles against Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, and the fact now that we see him, he had Carson Wentz playing at an MVP level and then won the Super Bowl with Nick Foles. And so I think I'm re-ranking.
You know, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
But Shanahan's got Mr. Irrelevant winning like seven games or whatever it is. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, he's got a tremendous amount of talent there. Sure. Yeah, that's good. But he hadn't won the big one. And now Doug Peterson is showing at his second stop that he's got the juice, baby. What?
Nah, you know what? Never mind. I don't want to say
it.
Nah.
Say it. Say what you're going to say. You don't hold back on this show.
I was going to say Shanahan does more with less. So But no, that doesn't sound right because he's not. He's got, outside of Brock Purdy, that's a fabulous team. Yeah. That's why I took it back. That's why I didn't want to say
it. Tremendous amount of talent.
Yes.
On that team, so. But he does deserve credit. But I just thought, you know what? Doug Peterson won a damn Super Bowl. You know? And now he's got this team in the playoffs. And when he's looking at his play sheet, he wears readers when he's looking at this play sheet, and it makes him look smarter. I like that. You know? Like, uh-oh, he's got his readers out. He's trying to figure out. He's really looking to see what play is going to work here in this situation. We'll take a break. Back after this on WHB.
What?
You know, the energy, we just had to, you know, cultivate it. And I thought our guys did it by staying connected, but also not worrying about the offensive side. I'm proud of them for doing that, and ultimately proud of these two. There's no doubt about it with their significant play. I thought Dre Golston being able to make that three in the corner, but also that step back and one, and then Kobe, you know, he cramping up, but also spraining his ankle, he still wanted to play. And when you have that type of deliverance from your players, that means they don't want to let the people that standing to their left, their right, down. And obviously being at home, they didn't want to let the crowd down, and our fight showed that consistently.
Yeah, I almost forgot about that. When Mizzou was passing the ball around and trying to close the show, that was ugly. Kobe turned his ankle, and they showed the replay, and that looked bad. Hopefully he's going to be okay. But Mizzou gets the win. And here, Dennis Gates, after beating Arkansas, after erasing a 10-point deficit with under 5 minutes of play and beating Arkansas 79-76, Dennis Gates sat down with the broadcast crew, including our good friend John Sundvold.
Now, Coach Gates, we talked to you earlier today. You said to us, this is going to be one of those just grind it out, physical,
absolutely,
rough games. What made you think that that was how this game was going to play out?
I just knew both teams were in desperation for a win. They were on a 3-game losing streak. We was on a 2-game losing streak. You want to be able to split when you have home and away games, and we needed this game. And I thought the player of the game was Aiden Shaw, man. To be able to get a DNP, come in the first half and hit those two threes, that took a lot of confidence, and I'm proud of them.
Tell us about the resilience of your ball club. I mean, Arkansas put their best foot forward. There was a stretch where they had a little bit of control. But talk about your ball club. And
we didn't blink, and that's our philosophy. Don't blink. Our guys were able to stay focused on the game, and I truly believe we were down 7-6 points, and our guys just kept encouraging each other. It's usually the words that are being said, and our guys said some powerful words. And I credit Isaiah Mosley as well, being prepared to play. And I'm just excited, man. It's a win for our fans. Missouri fans showed out.
We see a Golston three right here. How big was he tonight for you?
Big time. Yeah. He was vocal in the huddle, and I knew he had ice water in his veins, right? He was ending up. That and one was crucial.
Yeah.
But that's his shot.
So let's talk about what you've built with this atmosphere here at Mizzou Arena.
Oh, man, was it awesome.
You credit, I built, we built. We built, and I say that as former players, the entire city, they're sacrificing their time to be here, and that's most important. When you're at the infant stages of building a program, it's very important that you have the consistency, and our crowd has been consistent.
Hey, before we get out of here, I don't want to make it the whole story, but obviously seeing Isaiah Mosley on the floor tonight, hadn't seen him in a while.
Yep.
What prompted him, and what did you think of his performance?
He had a great, great 2 weeks of basketball, and I thought his teammates encouraged him. They were able to get him going, and he got us going in that first half when we couldn't manufacture offense. Ultimately, I think his teammates deserve the credit, but also himself.
All right, you said to us before we left the arena today at shoot-arounds, you said, hope to give you guys a good one. Well, I think you overachieved in that, Coach. Thanks.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much.
Well done. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah,
big win.
Kind of,
and I'll be damned if I'm going to let anybody see me blink.
That's right. Gunther would never blink. Gunther Cunningham would love that motto. It is exciting for Mizzou fans if you can actually consider Isaiah Mosley part of this team moving forward, because I'd given up on that, and so that was good. Here I received a message from a faithful listener by the name of Renee. Hey, Steven, I can attest Marco was watching the game. I had to tell him to quit pounding his fist on my couch when Mosley got the rebound before halftime. Yes, Danny did give up and went to bed too. I am shocked, too, that Marco did not lead with the Mizzou sound. I am shocked, too, that Marco did not lead with the Mizzou sound. Signed, Renee.
Wow. Wonder who that could be.
Well, that's your mother.
Oh, that's who was at the house yesterday watching me.
You're making your own mom mad about this?
And then she sent me a laughing emoji. See,
You never want to disappoint Mom.
What are you pounding the couch for?
Isaiah Mosley was playing. He got a rebound.
Nate, he's in there pounding that couch. And she's yelling at him to stop pounding the damn couch, Nate. You know?
Well.
We got to sit him down and talk to him. Well, thank you, Renee, for intense game. Thank you for the information, Renee, and thank you for listening. Back after this on WHB.